At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, we've determined that no one can get enough of the Adelson family. So it's all Adelson all the time now here, but it kind of feels like that. But there's just been so much to talk about in this last week. And believe me, I too am looking forward to other things going on in the ether of true crime. But it just keeps popping up. So we're going to talk about what we saw this week. Robin Dreek is with us, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. If you watched our live coverage the other day during the sentencing, you're in luck. This is where we are going to talk about what we saw now that we've had those moments to kind of sit back, let it sink in a little bit, let it simmer, and let the trauma subside of that crazy sentencing. But before we get to discussing what we saw the other day, the Markell family, Danny's parents have released a statement, and it's new as far as I know it is. I just saw it right before we jumped on the air here. Wow. And this is in response to the sentencing. It's specifically in response to Donna's performance, let's call it what it is, and Harvey's performance as well, because they were calling them out. They were literally victim. They were shaming them. They were disparaging them. They were calling them liars in court about their interactions with their grandchildren, and they're gonna clear it up in this letter. Yeah. So let me go through this, and then we'll talk about that on the other side. This is the letter. This is the words of the Markell family. During sentencing, our family listened in disbelief to the disrespectful and delusional statements made by both Donna and Harvey Adelson before Donna's sentencing for the first-degree murder and other convictions of our son and brother, Dan Markell. Contrary to Donna's claims, she never mourned the loss of Danny's life, nor did she ever express concern for his sons losing their father. Testimony at her trial showed her callous indifference to the murder, including written evidence that she dismissed the very idea that the boys could be sad or miss their dad. Remember that? Do you remember that in some of those letters that were being read back? Or I don't know if it was letters or transcripts, but it was very direct of just the utter disconnect of not remotely considering the feelings of these two children as if they were just objects.
Yep.
As if they were just
pawns. They were pawns. Yeah.
little pawns in the game with names. It is deeply unfortunate that Harvey used his time before the court to challenge our family's account of our relationship with Ben and Lincoln. Robin, I want to ask you there. It is deeply unfortunate. Interesting choice of words before we get into what they're about to say. What's your take on that sort of phrasing?
They're being as kind as they can.
Somebody looked it over before they submitted right?
And what a nice point, Stacey. You know, it's amazing when you actually have loving critics that actually weigh in before you give yourself in a horrible emergency takeoff like the Adelfins.
Right.
You know, so, and that's what we do. You know, when we're emotionally tied to the outcome that we're seeking, we're horrible regulators of ourselves. That's why we have people in our lives that should be weighing in on certain things. And granted, you're going to make the ultimate decision yourself. But, you know, having someone objective to help you with your wordage helps immensely, especially if it's going to be put out for public consumption.
True. It is deeply unfortunate that Harvey used his time before the court to challenge our family's account of our relationship with Ben and Lincoln. We will set the record straight. As we have in court and elsewhere, our family was cut off from contact with the boys for 6 full years from the moment authorities implicated Adelson family members in Danny's murder until 1 hour after the Florida legislature passed the Markell Act. Since then, our interactions have been limited. So just think about that for a second. The Adelsons get implicated in the murder of their son. And then they're not allowed to see their own grandkid. The kids are basically being held hostage by the Adelsons at that point. The very family accused of killing their father.
You know, it's interesting about it too, Tony. You know, going back to the language that they used regarding, you know, deeply disappointed or whatever it was. So
yeah,
they're using language that is very pragmatic and cognitive and thoughtful, not emotional. And so they're setting the stage for them to then lay out setting the records because they're not given a little hijacked response to these things. So again, the Adelsons undone themselves. No one's listening to what they're saying. They're just raving lunatics. And then here you have the Markells kind of laying it out. We could have this highly emotionally hijacked response to this, but we're not. We're maintaining calm, cool, collected. Here's the facts. And so people consume it a lot better than otherwise if they just... Yeah. Now, granted, people would have totally accepted an emotional response, but they're doubling down on, hey, we're the really thoughtful ones in this one, and these people are lunatics.
God. Since then, our interactions have been limited. And this is their account. This is them saying what is going on today, basically, with their interactions with their grandchildren as facilitated through Wendy and the law. They literally had to get legislation passed to see their grandchildren named after them. That's commitment. And I hope those grandkids, they someday look back when they're adults and understand all of that to like actually go, well, yeah, they're actually my grandparents had to get legislation passed because my family, my murderous family did. That's going to be so much to unpack for them someday. So much.
Can't imagine.
Continuing on, since then, our interactions have been limited mainly through Wendy's supervised Zoom calls and short visits. Wendy refuses to share their address, and what? Gifts we send must be mailed to her lawyer's office. Okay, this is from the Markells, so this is their letter.
Wow.
You know, if that's not true, then you know Wendy can say something. But this is according to them. This is not like a court statement or us independently verifying. This is their letter saying this. So if that is true, the grandparents can't know where their grandkids live just to send a gift. They can't show up and. That might be a little awkward. I don't know that I'd want to be showing up to hang out with Wendy either in any way, shape, or form. But, yeah.
So these grandkids are not seeing their grandparents.
There's a little visit. We'll talk about that here in a second.
Okay.
But they don't have the address. and gifts that we send must be mailed to her lawyer's office. We were uninvited to Benjamin's bar mitzvah following Charlie's arrest and never invited to Lincoln's. We grieve the years lost and the years ahead without independent and direct contact with them. Beyond her crimes, Donna scorned Danny, drove deliberate wedges between him and Wendy, and disparaged him to his own sons. All of which we saw evidence of.
Mm-hmm.
Her display of emotion before the court was not remorse for Danny's death, but sorrow for the consequences she now faces for causing it. We thank the court, prosecutors, jurors, and law enforcement for their steadfast commitment to bringing justice to Donna Adelson for her role in this terrible crime. That is the statement from the Markell family.
Yeah, good statement.
Very much, outlining, I think, a lot of what we knew. But I guess it's still sad and shocking, the interactions of what's going on there with the kids and Wendy and the grandparents.
I don't know how those kids recover from this. I don't know how, you know, they need help. They need objective, healthy relationships in their lives. And I don't know how they get that with Wendy still being the mother taking care of them. And even if so, let's project it forward. If they charge her eventually and they all get locked up and put away in jail, still, how does that help the kids?
Nothing. These kids are screwed in every which way.
Mm-hmm, I really hope not, but I don't know how you don't have that happen. It's one of those tragic cycles we see, and we're seeing it play out in front of us. So that's a tough one. That's
The best thing for those kids is if the uncle out in New York were to adopt them.
No, I was just thinking the same thing. You'd hate to place that burden on them. I love how we're managing people's families for them, you know?
Yes. But hey, you're all too close. Here's the 10,000-foot overview on what would be most healthy.
I would think whether it's him or someone like him that was close enough to understand the insanity of the family, yet has healthy relationships in their lives now, they self-escaped from it like he did, would be the best person to actually raise them. Because, so say the grandparents, were able to get them still, that they were the villains in this whole story.
Yeah.
And so again, would there be love or would there be resentment? I mean, you don't even know how that would be taken and how they'd portray things. Yeah. But the brother, the older brother who self-saved himself earlier in life, that has that objective point of view that kind of saw both sides from that standpoint, someone like that or him would be in a very good position to bring clarity, to bring an understanding, to bring a mutual empathy, not empathy of like, compassion necessarily, but just an empathy of understanding everyone's point of view along this whole thing and helping them understand what healthy is and what healthy isn't. This is why I left, because of these unhealthy behaviors. And this is what, so I think someone objective in their lives, as well as that therapy they're going to need, would be an ideal person. But again, it's conjecture for what we place on someone else to do.
Yeah.
I'm curious, if Wendy were to be charged, where do those kids end up? Do they go with the grandparents, who obviously can't see them very often? It would be a very strange transition. What happens to these children?
Well, it's probably whatever Wendy has lined out in paperwork, in a legal statement. Basically, it would be like what I have if I were to die, where I have it lined out, where my daughter would go. In a case like this here, there is no, Dan's not around. So it would be her wishes that would be granted on this, unless they weren't lined out somewhere. So it would be, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, it'd be someone she trusts. That's what you're going to do with your kids ultimately. At the end of the day, no matter how evil all these people are, they do care for the well-being of those kids, just in a very, very unhealthy way.
It's distorted.
Which kind of gets me to, so getting ready for today and doing our deep dive of trying to understand the craziness of the Adelsons, all these things in every case we cover, and especially this one, it really comes down to, an overuse of what we're all trying to do as a species is control. Mm-hmm. And this came down to control. And so actually, it's a part of our evolutionary mechanism, actually. And our brains were, I mean, just so this is what it is. So this is what drove these behaviors that we saw on full display in that echo chamber of it with all of them. That is, our brains are wired to solve problems through control. And because that control trait has been evolved for hundreds of thousands of years, because we, in order to survive at that primal level, we had to control fire, shelter, mm-hmm. food sources for procreation. Because if we couldn't control those things and feed our children would starve. And so we've had this need to control our environment as a species for more than anything else on this planet. And so when it hits that excess, obviously here to the unhealthy level, then this craziness happens. And it was on full display. And when people threaten that control, that's what we saw in the courtroom. And part of that too was, you, as I was thinking about this, all these people that were, you know, standing up for her. Well, when you have when the alpha is being placated, everything in the world is happy and fine. But when the alpha is being challenged, not so much. So mm-hmm. it was really, really interesting watching full display of massive control issues. And you saw the anger and rage and lack of self-regulation, because that comes into this bigger than hell. We said it on Monday too when we're watching this.
Yeah.
The emotional intelligence of these people, again, every single criminal case we cover, zero. These people are bottomed out on their ability to self-regulate and emotional intelligence. Yeah. There's zero with these people. And look how intelligent they are on an IQ score, potentially.
Bingo. But these are professionals. Yep. These are professionals in the world. They're masters of their craft. And yet look at them on a social, emotional level. They are so stunted. But yet you might say that they're quite advanced in that as well.
Yeah, and so their EQ, emotional intelligence, and ability to control was so, I mean, so you can see how cloistered their world was, because they thought that their behavior was completely acceptable and normal and was being validated by each other and that small cabal of friends they had that said, oh yes, they're completely wonderful people.
So yeah.
They're all nuts.
I want to talk about that a little bit, because that was such a bizarre moment in that trial. There was a guy that came up. He was like a former legislator, a former physician, a former Domino's pizza driver, a masseuse.
He's a doctor too. He's a PhD.
Yeah, he legitimately was a doctor. He went on he gave his credentials for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one cares. This is he came into that. It seemed feeling that because of who he was or who he thinks he is, who he's built himself up to believe he is, that should somehow, his opinion should somehow override the jury, override the rule of law, override all of these convictions for this family, because you knew them 20 years ago and you haven't had much interaction since, by his own admission. But because she was a nice lady back then, I was blown away by that
one. He said, look how smart I am. I'm smarter than everyone in this room. I know this person. I haven't seen her about 20 years, but I'm the smartest person in this room. And judge, this is why you're wrong. Listen to me. I mean, that's exactly what I just paraphrased exactly what he said. And we're watching this and saying, you're a nutter too. So as soon as I saw him, I'm like, wow, this tribe of nutters is, they all flock together. And so anyone that touches, so here's a good rule of thumb for everyone that's watching and everyone in your life. If you see one crazy, and you see two crazies together, stay very clear of anyone touching them saying they're good people. No, they're not. You know, the nutters flock together like this, and then you get a bowl of nuts. And just don't eat the nuts. Just stay away.
What's interesting about that is so often you would think that their constant need for self-importance would just like be magnetically opposing of each other because they need that individual spotlight.
Yeah.
But narcissists do seem to travel in packs.
And I also think they have their lanes. And so I think they validated each other in each other's lanes on this one. So you wouldn't battle dad on this, and you wouldn't battle mom on this. And so we know how not to get them upset. And you found out where their lanes are at because, you know, Donna will pour on her fake, you know, exasperated face. Yeah. Isn't that just ugly? You know, I mean, that was so practiced. So she flipped that switch when she was in her lane of wanting to control, and then she flipped it back off again. And she did it during the sentencing. It was so amazing to watch that face come out. And then you see her glance up, glance around. Anyone looking? Who's looking? Where are the cameras? Okay, I can turn it off now.
Yeah,
that's it. What a horrible fake face. That is a practice face, years and decades of rep saying, this is my face of control. I control my family. I control the people in my life because no one wants to look at this face. I get people to do what I want them to do so they don't have to look at this face.
And she's been doing it probably since that face was like 8 years old.
As soon as she had her first positive response to what she wanted people to do by making that face, because that's why babies, we cry.
Yeah.
Babies cry because they need something taken care of. And if they don't get it, they'll stop crying and move on to something else. But when a behavior is validated and rewarded, we keep doing that behavior. So her family of nutters, I keep
nutters.
Saying,
it's nuts. Accurate, though.
Of the mixed nuts, you know, variety.
Kept getting the mixed nut variety. got reactions, you know, we're given reactions to that face. You know, it just became part of that family dynamic. And when we see the face, so they can even preempt it. They knew to switch their behavior up. If she even started that face, oh, we don't want mom to look like that.
And I'm sure there was, you know, little warning signs too, little canaries in the coal mine that Don is getting close to being like that. So we better all tread carefully to avoid that. And that's how they lived their lives.
And
different lanes make sense.
And totally shocked that no one else was buying it. That's why this is so fascinating to watch. And the first guy that came in to defend Donna, he was totally shocked that no one was buying his line of shit. You know, so that's why when you have a bunch of people that have this self-aggrandizement, thinking that people believe their line of garbage, they are completely blown away when no one does. And they get angrier because this line of garbage you're given is because this is how I've maintained control of my environment because I'm smarter than everyone else. I have this sense of superiority over everyone else. And their minds are blown when it's not working because it's always worked before. Why? They surround themselves with an echo chamber. This is how echo chambers work. This is how groupthink happens. This is what cults do.
Do you think the guy that gave that testimony for Donna had any clue the scope of how many people were going to be watching that? I mean, when we talk about narcissists, they're often very unaware of their surroundings because it's just in their bubble. And I'm wondering, you know, the fact that, you know, he hasn't been in contact with him for 20 some years, you know, or very minimal or didn't know. And
Christmas cards.
Yeah. I mean, it was that sort of a relationship, it sounds like. And if you're just, you know, kind of gently following the news and you're not into true crime, you may like, oh, shit, like, yeah, they're making the news. They're making the news down there. And if I don't know what this guy's connection to technology is in any way, shape or form, but if you're not well versed in any of it or really not at all, then you're not going to have a clue just how many people you're going to be going in front of and singing the praises of Donna Adelson to. I really wonder if he thought that this was just going to be like, well, it'll make the Tallahassee Democrat or something like that. And, maybe, you know, and that'll be it. I don't think he really realized that we'd be talking about this.
Right.
Maybe.
You know, and discussing what bizarre behavior it is to be standing up for Donna Adelson. I don't know.
So here's how human beings work. All human beings at all moments of the day, we always will act in our own best interest in terms of our safety, security, and prosperity from our own point of view. So especially when people are edging up higher on that narcissistic look at me level, like everyone in this cabal is. I mean, so let's just analyze it. Everyone in this family and everyone associated with this family think they're the most important people on earth. By his statement when he first started out, he was telling everyone how important he was on earth. And so not one person in this family or in this entire tribe was ever acting in terms of someone else's best interest, only themselves. So my conjecture on this is that he knew exactly what he was doing, and he wasn't doing it for Donna. He was doing everything. I mean, think about it. He wasn't saying how awesome she was nearly as much as he is saying how awesome he was.
True.
He thought he was doing this in his own best interest to look at me, look at me, look at me, and he's going to get a lot of great press and prestige because, look, I gave such a thoughtful response, a thoughtful commentary, and yeah, she'll benefit maybe from it too, but look at me. And I'm going to show this judge up. I mean, otherwise, why would he have said it all that?
It's just, and but the
he thought it out. He thought it out. That's he what did. He thought was a great idea.
He did, but without realizing, I think, who he was talking about. I mean, it's like if no. you knew nothing about Diddy or something, and you're like, you know about rappers,
right?
It's a rapper. It's a rapper that's got a bad rap, and I'm gonna stand up for it because I think more people should be, you know, without really digging into what you're standing up for because you want to hear your own voice. That's kind of what it felt like.
But it was 100% doing that because he even said, "I haven't known her for 20 years." All right, so let's think about this logically. Everyone,
which is a great way to intro yourself.
Right.
Well, so, I was going to say, why would you admit that to the
lead
court?
With
why
that.
Would you say that?
Because he thought this was serving himself more than it was serving her. Otherwise, why say it at all? And so he could laid out his credentials. He laid out what he didn't know about her, and then kept rambling on and on and on and on. Then challenging a judge, challenging jury, and saying, "I can challenge this because I'm so smart. I'm so this." So he literally said everything he was saying in his own best interest, according to what he thought they were. Clearly, without any loving critic in his life saying this might not be a great idea, but he and even if they did, he's like dismissive of them. "Oh, I know what I'm doing. I've been in," you know. So you can see that superiority in his life. And so he said, in his own words, "I have no credibility because I haven't known her for 20 years to really defend any of her actions, but I can stand up here and challenge a judge because I'm smarter than the judge."
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a 100% narcissist.
Yes.
Isn't it?
They all do.
Yeah. Really feels like that. I mean, we obviously can't diagnose or anything like that, but I mean, that was the demonstration of behavior was very, very much narcissistic behavior.
And he was rationalized. Now, granted, again, pure conjecture, who knows? Yeah. But you know, I'd imagine, you know, you rational in those moments, you rationalize your behavior that I'm doing it for a greater good. I'm doing it for my friend Donna.
Yeah.
But if when you sit back objectively, like the entire country is now that watch tuned into this, you're saying to yourself, "No, you weren't." And so I'm hoping. So here's a true sign of someone on a good, healthy path that after all this commentary, people like us and others, lots of others are giving on this, maybe he can look in the mirror and say, "You know what? Huh. I have some work to do on myself, don't I?" But unless he's doubling down and saying, "You all are nutters. I'm right." And so it's really interesting that these points and these inflection points in someone's life and their life arc, what do they do in response to this? And here's what we saw. What did the Markells do? Clear, thoughtful response. Which then gives, again, they double down on who's credible in this entire thing and who's not. It reaffirmed, I think, to the jury and everyone that stood by the Markells, right choice, right decision. Yeah. Because what we saw in that, I mean, who knew you were going to see this in a sentencing? You know, you expect these things on days of final statements being made. And I mean, just, but what we saw double down was how insane not just Donna was, but her husband, her friends. We saw this display of crazy like we've never seen before. And then here come the Markells after we saw crazy, reaffirming the entire world that, no, we're good. They're not. And everyone, I mean, just stand by. I mean, if I was Wendy, your husband right now, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't think good things are going to be
and
coming
the older
to
brother's
those who
in
wait.
There saying, thank God. He might have been second guessing himself in parts of his life about removing himself from that family. He's probably saying to himself, "Oh my God, that was life's biggest bullet I just dodged. That was a shot coming out of a tank that I missed in my life."
The validation he must be feeling that the entire nation, the entire world has seen the crazy, and he probably is just sitting there going, "I told you guys they were nuts."
Yeah. I mean, there's, I just did a piece on this and it's going to air Monday about why Donna resonates with people so much. Why are so many people passionate about this case? Why were so many people, you know, just so eager to literally watch like a 40-minute video of her in a van with little to no audio, shaking, you know, and just watching her micro expressions along the way? Because it's cathartic. There's a narcissist in a cage. And so many of us have right. had these people in our lives. And they just destroy the cage. They gnaw through the cage. Then they go to your house. And then they eat everything and destroy everything and rip apart your shit and destroy your emotions and your life. And then they just move on to the next thing. And you're like, can somebody catch this fucking thing before it destroys another life?
Because
and
we
they're
love,
just out there.
We love saying to ourselves, as bad as my life is, it ain't that.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And honestly, and thankfully, in so many ways, you know, we don't end up with all of them in cages. I mean, because that means they're not necessarily going to the extreme lengths of murdering people like the Adelsons. But the damage that they do in far greater numbers to the living and to the emotional psyche and well-being of all of those in their wake that they that we become the sources of for their narcissistic fuel. It is strangely gratifying and pleasing to watch one in a cage in captivity that's trying to gnaw their way out, and they're not, they can't get out no matter what they say, no matter what they do. It's just kind of like, oh, what do you got next? Do another trick. Is that what you're doing there in the cage? Look at them. Look at them. Look at them think what they're thinking. They still think it.
Yeah, because I see Sharada's comments on the side too. And yeah, I think definitely part of this is also finally seeing, because we cover so many times when the criminal justice system is just abhorrent sometimes. Yeah. We're seeing it actually work, and we're seeing it work really well. We're seeing a great judge. We've seen so many poor judges, you know, over the last couple of years we've been doing these things. Here's a great judge really keeping people in their place, delivering great justice to people who clearly need it. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen crazy unhealthy people get off on things or get reduced sentence. I mean, just, it's big reason why so many of these cases are in the public venue is because they're so abhorrent to watch. But this is one, finally, we got some great justice, great judge, great attorneys on the prosecution side.
And I think even greater, and again, what speaks to people on this is not even the criminal justice end of it. It's the social justice end of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because nobody stops these, because you can't stop them if they're not committing crimes.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's finally justice in a way that you can't criminally prosecute. But you're like, damn, this should be illegal what they just did to somebody, or what someone did to me, or someone did to you, or whatever it may be. And like I was saying, they just flutter on to the next thing, and you're just kind of left to pick up the pieces and go, okay, I'm going to hopefully be healthy and move forward. And they just go on and create more chaos for others. And if they come near your life again, oh, it's a windstorm. And without any sort of accountability, this was finally social accountability for that sort of behavior. And it spoke to a lot of people. And that's
I love these things so much too, you know, because we can all, I'm a glass half full. And so we can take a moment of severe pain and trauma and loss that a family suffered and make it a learning point for us all about who to avoid in our lives and what healthy looks like and what healthy doesn't look like. Because I'm sure there's so many people that can identify and know people, not maybe hopefully to the extremes of the Adelsons, but yeah, you know, to this is hopefully validation for those people. Uh-huh. Say, hey, you have permission to not allow these people in your life.
Right.
Because they will destroy it and think it's all very good. And they will manipulate the living hell out of you. They're going to make you feel guilty for it and all these things. But no, you stay away from these crazy people because they're bringing you down their crazy road of nuts and they're going to destroy you along the way.
And really, until you've lived it, you don't know it exists. You don't know the gravity to it. And that's why so many get sucked into it, because you just don't see it or you haven't experienced it.
Levers of manipulation against you, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, I think the three of us here, excluding Robin, because Robin hasn't worked in the radio industry. Todd, I know we've all worked in the same place. I'm not going to say where, but we have all experienced this. So there is a little bit of I guess, vengeance in our brain of, you know, we'd love to see a certain narcissist get into trouble.
So I don't even think, I mean, my world is not even thinking about that anymore.
I know it's you're more, not, it's but more personal. It's,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I did spend over 30 years with the government.
Yeah. Well, good point. Oh, there's good. That. Touché. Touché.
Oh, there's that.
There's
yes.
that. Yes.
One of the biggest
yes.
reasons I have the ability to see crazy is I've been around it my entire life.
Yeah. I think you dropped the Trump card on that one.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Adelsons, Donna Adelson, Charlie Adelson, Harvey, Wendy, you know, the whole clan that's coming to ABC Saturday nights for a feel-good comedy that you've never saw coming. Wouldn't that be great? Right after Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. We're talking about what happened in court the other day in the sentencing of Donna Adelson, the reactions from their friends, their acquaintances, their flying monkeys that gave their victim impact statements despite being on the side of the perpetrators of the crime. And also just the reaction from the public, the reaction from anyone who had an unfortunate chance of observing this circus. I want to go and I want to review the Harvey tape. This is Harvey's testimony in court the other day. It's a shorter one, and then we'll talk on the other side. But let's relive the magic of Harvey Adelson trying to stand up for Donna.
Oh, I love this.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
You can lower your hand. You may speak.
Thank you, Judge, and respected officers of the court for allowing me to speak. I have been Donna Adelson's husband for over 50 years. My wife sacrificed everything so that she could pour her heart and soul into our children, our grandchildren, and our marriage. This summer was our 54th wedding anniversary, and I had to spend it without her hand in mine. She has done nothing wrong, and yet is being punished for a crime that she did not commit. I felt we lived in a different kind of world, but I guess I was wrong. I have listened, watched, and sat in the courtroom for the entire trial, and I could not help but scream in my mind by the witnesses that were brought forward, by the prosecution who told outright lies. I didn't know that you could lie in a courtroom, but apparently you can. Danny's parents contend that they have never seen their grandchild. But for years they say they've never seen her. But Wendy has shared with me pictures and videos and letters from their visits. They have suffered immensely at the loss of their son. But they also contend to tell lies to the court about our grandchildren. Donna has always been a loving and caring wife.
You tell them, Harvey.
She's innocent of the charges.
You tell them.
A biased judge.
I wrote it for you last night in the cell.
Were influenced by years of one-sided news pieces. And social media,
Doctor. Ms. Fulford, this has nothing to do with the character of the defendant or the sentencing.
May I just have a moment, please? Here we go.
May I
what
do my job?
Yeah, let's see what she wrote.
Let's see what's left when she's done Xing things out. This is my favorite part.
Jennifer says ChatGPT okay. at its finest. She's right.
This last line right here, only that. That's yeah. all you can read.
Donna did not participate in heinous acts that he was convicted of doing. You are sounding an innocent woman.
Jesus.
You have taken my wife and that, and you have taken my life as well. And for what? This is not justice. It is vengeance, and it is wrong.
He didn't even thank the Academy. What an asshole.
So every time the lawyer went up there to look at and edit, nothing changed. And they kept going.
I just think it was a big vroom, vroom. Like, so you can't say any of this. Just this last sentence.
But the thing I really loved even more is how he implicated Wendy by saying, Wendy showed me video, she showed me, and I'm like, oh, wow, he just threw his daughter under the bus. It's
but
like,
again,
oh,
why
really? I haven't seen those yet. Time to go get those.
If that were true, why didn't that come out in
Good
the
point.
Trial?
Like, why? It's not. Why?
I know, that's the point. Like, if that was true, then that should have been brought out in the trial.
Yeah. and just to rely, I mean, and what a weak statement too, of like, these grandparents are saying like, we haven't seen them on any regular basis whatsoever or at all for 6 years. And he's like, I've seen pictures. And you've seen some pictures, okay? When were the pictures taken? Was it just like one occasion, or like what are you talking? I got pictures.
And prosecutor's going, oh, I want to see those pictures.
Yeah, let's see the pictures. Yeah,
more lies. I every time we have a good chuckle at their expense, I just keep thinking of Markel's and what they're going through. So it's one of these things that, you know, like I remember during Koberger's sentencing as well, you know, cheering at, but at the same time, you know, remembering what brought us to this point. So I do the same thing here. I love cheering her going to jail and getting the worst, you know, the max on everything. Same time though, I keep remembering that the Markels have lost their son to these horrendous human beings.
Yeah. Well, and I want to talk about this for a second, because in our earlier segment, we were talking about, the Markels not being able to see their grandkids, and on a simple world, it would be, oh, well, just start having him go see them. Let's have that. Like, look, these kids I am not speaking for them. I have no idea what's going on, but I would gather to venture I think that's not even the correct way to say that, but I would venture to guess, I think that's what I meant to say, that they probably don't have the highest of opinions.
Probably not.
From that, where they're being raised, who they're being raised by, I'm just going to guess that they probably don't have the highest of opinions, because that's probably the conditioning that they were given. I could be completely wrong. Maybe Wendy has pictures of them at their bedside and they're kissing them every single night and they're telling stories about them and it's just lovely and wonderful. But if that's really happening, then why the fuck aren't they in their lives? Mm-hmm.
We become what we consume, and we become what we're fed. And
exactly.
And that's why,
victims.
And that's why, you know, during those formative years of lives, 9 to 24, what we consume that allows us to feel safe from our own perspective is what we're going to gravitate to. And if you are told by your mom, your grandparents, that this is what safety looks like, and these people and this world out here is unsafe, you have that implanted in your brain at that young age. And that's why, you know, at the very beginning of the show today, I'm like, how do you fix this?
You don't. I don't know how you can.
Very challenging. It's very sad.
The sad reality of a situation like that is, by the time the kid does get the agency and has the maturity, in most cases, again, I'm not speaking for them, I'm just kind of speaking in broad terms here. Right. They're going to be dead. That's going to be a long time from now to, in most cases, for them to mature to the level of really grasping what the hell they've been through and who their family is and who these people are and were. They're, you know, you're going to miss so much. And that's just the sad reality of it, that Wendy is robbing them of. And look, I am not in any way, shape, or form, I always got to say this, a proponent of grandparents should be in grandchildren's lives all the time.
Right. Right.
Not fucking at all. There is many cases where that is not appropriate, because they're toxic human beings and they've sown their own shit. I mean, just the same reason like Donna really shouldn't have been in these kids' lives, but they were the ones controlling it. So it's not a one size fits all and woe is every grandparent. But in this case, with these two, this is just insane.
I'd be very curious about, you know, what Wendy's path and arc is right now. I know everyone keeps saying prosecute, but I'm really, what we don't know is how this has really changed her, if it's changed her, and what she's doing as a mother. I mean, so there's a lot of unknowns that, you know, might be, again, glass half full. Until you know, you can keep that hope alive. Now, granted, her arc is pretty predictable, but this is a major event which could actually shift that arc of learning or lack of learning. So I'd be really curious, because we haven't heard anything from her, probably because she's afraid to say anything.
It'd be
really interesting to see how she's raising the kids.
I hope that she's doing it in a healthy way. If she has nothing to do with this, great. Obviously there's a lot of evidence that kind of says there's at least some awareness of what the fuck was going on.
I know, I'm laughing. Jennifer's comment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I if I were them, father daughter trip. Father daughter trip, and it's time for a little like let's smell the roses and touch the grass and realize what the hell we've been around our whole lives. Because at the end of the day, if you really do look at this, now look, Harvey had agency. Harvey's an adult. Harvey made his own choices and chose the bed that he was going to lay in next to Satan with.
Satan.
That's good.
But
ready on that one.
Donna, it's almost bedtime.
Oh, God, it's okay.
Oh, that was Tony. I thought that was Todd. Yeah,
it's, no, it's me.
Oh, good God.
Time.
But the thing is, if you... Wendy, she's brought up in this.
Right. Yeah, so, she's steeped
so,
in it.
So just as we're talking about and speculating on her kids, the Markell grandchildren, on their way of thinking... It, based on what Wendy is feeding them, Wendy is a product of Donna too. So there is a level of victim, I think, to Charlie, a level of victim to Wendy, certainly a level of victim to the other son whose name I always forget, but
Rob?
He should, Robert,
okay,
right?
Good. Yeah. I mean, probably good for him. I don't remember it so he can live in peace. You know, the less people that say his name, the more he can just go enjoy life. And then you have, I do wonder to a bit of Harvey. I mean, Harvey, again, he's an adult, though. He had the agency to make more choices. The kids, not so much. So the path that the kids are playing with is a path that was originally rooted out by Harvey and Donna. Now, obviously, Rob got the hell out of Dodge. He saw it. He was able to do it. He had the cognitive ability, the emotional maturity to say, this isn't for me. The other two, obviously not so much. They've stayed pretty close to the teat. So that's the problem. Because Donna kept going, it's chocolate milk day.
So now all I can think of is
hell.
Donna's teat comes to mind, and now I can't. I'm not going to get through the rest of the day.
And Tony's got his demon button ready.
Yeah, he does. He pulls that during staff meetings too.
Come here, Charlie. I just want to give you some chocolate milk. Chocolate milk time.
Come feed the chocolate milk to Charlie.
Oh, God, it's like a South Park episode here.
Satan, the Dark Lord. The Dark Lord is saying that you must have the milk.
God.
And we're off the rails.
Train's derailed.
Yeah, there you go. Chocolate milk in hell. that's the title of Charlie's book. Chocolate milk in hell.
Oh my gosh. So what's he do now?
Well, recently I saw a video of Charlie complaining that someone opened the door and it stubbed his toe. In the prison, and he had a big fit about that. Charlie wasn't happy. Stubbed his toe.
Hey, you know what? I'll give him a little credit. That shit hurts, man. I've known people who've, you know, dislocated toes on coffee tables and had to go to the ER. I mean, that's a thing.
Stacy, he murdered somebody. I just want to clarify.
Fine, take the wind out of my damn sails. Thanks
That's
a lot.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
Wait till she starts going on about her love for Luigi Mangione or something.
Well, he is cute.
Oh, my God.
No. I mean, he's a looker. And he works out. I mean, if you've seen those pecs, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm not justifying what he did. I'm just saying he's not
Throw
bad
another
to
shovel.
Look at.
Beep. Throw her another shovel.
Throw another shovel.
Beep, beep, beep.
Okay, if we had Rex Yorman or Luigi to look at, ladies in the chat, who are we going to look at?
I'd throw them all in a pit.
Well, I'm just saying, if we have to look at somebody.
Pull her out of the pit.
He's going to mute my mic. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out.
So that's where the whole Adelson world sits now. Do you think that the reactions that they gave in court the other day are going to, I mean, obviously they're not legal reactions. There's nothing here that constitutes any sort of breaking a law or reaffirming any sort of wrongdoing. But in terms of the motivation of a certain prosecutor named Georgia Kappelman, when you're being torn apart by people who are unindicted co-conspirators or one of them doing that, I don't know. It might put a little fire in my behind to be like, you know, I was looking over here at your daughter, but I might want to look your way a little bit now, too.
Yeah, so what'll probably happen... So the prosecutors definitely know these personalities. They've talked to him. So what they saw on display at the sentencing was probably not a shock to anyone on that team. You know, they've seen this before. It's just the first time we've all seen it. And so it wasn't a shock to them. What it'll be interesting to see, because of the public outcry now of saying, oh, you got to go after these people because they are, there's a lot more here than I think the public knew potentially. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of pressure is put on them from the external forces on this. I think my guess is, you know, they were going to do what they're going to do regardless on this, but it definitely probably put a fire under people that are trying to be reelected for things and politicians and things like that, saying they, you know, press for these things. That's more likely what it was affecting. But actually, the rule of law itself, I think they are already set on what they're going to do regardless of that outcome.
Yeah. It's just kind of a ticking time bomb, really.
Right. But not least now, if you, this is the opposite of this. Now, in the public's viewpoint, if you don't go after them, that's going to make them question even more, because you're like, why aren't you going after, especially Harvey? All of them. I mean, just anyone. Yeah. In all reality, if I was that first guy that got up there to defend Don, I'd be a little worried about myself as well. I mean, just they should look at everyone in these people's lives.
What's going on? Yeah. What's going on that you're gravitating towards this sort of and what's going on in your life that this is normal to you, and you're now that you know all the facts, this is still defensible to you. That's the weird part.
And so here's why it's a little scary to come to someone's defense like this, especially as a sentencing, is because if there's still more potential of charges and a prosecution of someone involved in this, and everyone involved in this knows that. I mean, it's out there that, you know, they're still looking at Wendy, and obviously they're still potentially looking at Harvey. And so what happens is, as you come to someone's defense, if you've had contact with them, you're going to be on either a witness list. If you're going to be on a witness list, they're doing a deeper dive on you to see what your credibility is. So you are part of this investigation. And that's what you don't want in life. That's why I was really kind of shocked that anyone would come to their defense, because you're now involving yourself in the cabal of crazy. That's not good for you. That's not good for your personal brand. That's not good for a business brand. And that's not good if you want to stay out of jail yourself. If you do, because remember this, if you want to find someone guilty of something, you can almost always do it. So you don't want someone to want to find you guilty of something. That's why all these people, that was a risky move. And I don't think it's going to play well for anyone.
Yeah. I don't either. It'll be interesting to see who comes to the next party. Still waiting for the invites. I think they'll be maybe sent out soon by Georgia, I'm hoping. Any one of these days, I'm just waiting for the news flash. Oh, look who just got busted by a grand jury indicting them. We'll have to wait and see. Stay tuned, as she says, and I'll say the same thing. All right, that's going to wrap up today's program. Be sure to let us know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, if that's where you're watching. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching, wherever it may be, so you don't miss any of our coverage in this and the many cases we're following for you right here. Until next time, for Stacey, Todd, and Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.